Good morning, everybody. Let's turn to Isaiah 7. I'll tell you how I came to this passage. I was thinking about it since this week. The world's going to be speaking about Christ and thinking about His birth. But I was just thinking on it. I wasn't sure I was going to preach from it. And then I looked in John chapter 2, and the next passage we come to, they ask a sign. They wanted to see a sign, and the Lord gave them the sign of Christ's resurrection. So I just had to preach on Isaiah 7, because it's the sign of Christ's birth, and John 2 is the sign of His resurrection. So the world thinks we're strange for preaching Christ every day anyway, and so they'll probably think it's strange that I'm going to preach on the resurrection the week of Christmas. That's all right. Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. This is the sign of Christ's birth. Now, verse 1 says, "It came to pass in the days of Ahaz," he was a wicked king, he's the king of Judah, he's the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, "it came to pass that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it." Now, it's important to note, God sent this trial. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whithersoever He wills. So this was all of God's doing. These men thought they were acting on their own, but God was bringing all this to pass, every bit of it. Verse 2, "And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim." That's Ephraim is Israel. And they were going up against Judah, their own people. "And when they told the king, his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind." Now, this was troublesome, very troublesome, because Israel, they're going up against their own people. They're going up against Judah, waging war, and they're confederate with Syria, an enemy nation. Now, this was a terrible time. This was a troublesome time. And the news moved the king's heart, and it moved the heart of his people. And they were moved like the trees of the wind. And it says, verse 3, "Then said the Lord to Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Sherjazab thy son." This boy's name means "a remnant shall return." When God the Father sends forth the word, the Father and the Son come forth. God comes forth in the Word. And in Christ, He's always declaring to us, a remnant shall be saved. His remnant's going to be saved. And that's what He was declaring here. And it said, "They met Him at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field." This pool is the pool of Siloam. Remember when Christ came to the blind man and He put the stuff on his eyes, and he's in the mud on his eyes, and he said, "Now go wash in the pool of Siloam," and he came away seeing. That's where the Lord had Isaiah meet Ahaz. And it's in the fuller's field. Christ is the fuller. He's the fuller who washes his people whiter than any fuller can white his people. And he says this, and he said, "Say unto him," now this is God's word. He's delivering this through his prophet, God's word to Ahaz. And he says, "Take heed, be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach in the wall for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is reason, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. God said in 65 years, Ephraim is not even going to be a people anymore. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. God said, I'm going to destroy all them. And he says, now, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Now, let's hear this. God, hear what he said to him. Now, all Ahaz saw was a man. He just saw a man. And he's got these enemy kings coming up against him. And here he has this God's prophet come forth. And this man says to him, take heed and be quiet and fear not. Don't be faint-hearted. He said, these enemies have declared their counsel against you, but God's counsel is going to stand. Not their counsel, God's counsel. God said, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. The enemies, he said, are smoking firebrands. They're not even on fire. They're going out. They're just smoking. And they're firebrand. There's a tail of firebrand. They're going out. But now look, he said, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. If you won't believe, you're not going to be saved by God, not going to be have assurance in your heart, going to be troubled and faint-hearted. And if you will not believe, you shall not be established. And then God commanded Ahaz to ask a sign. To ask a sign. Now, is that saying sound strange to you? Because remember, the Lord said an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Well, it's not seeking a sign that's the bad thing. It's seeking the wrong sign. Because God here said, I'll give you a sign. He said, this is what's going to guarantee you that every word that I've spoken is coming to pass. This sign I'm going to give you, every word I've spoken will come to pass. This is the guarantee of that. Verse 10, moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Now, Ahaz just heard the word of a man. So he refused to ask of God a sign, and he's pretending like he's concerned for God's glory, and he's concerned, you know, but that wasn't it at all. He refused the sign right here and wouldn't ask a sign when God said, I'll give you a sign. And then when Christ walked this earth, men said, we'd believe you if you'd give us a sign. They had both had the same problem. Ahaz wouldn't receive the sign from the Lord, and they wanted another sign. What was the problem? The problem is wanting a sign other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sign. He's the one guarantee, the assurance God has given that every word God's promised is going to come to pass. It's Christ. But the world, ungodly men, want something else. If you give us some other sign, we'll believe you. He's the sign. He's the guarantee. Verse 13, he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now, here it is. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now, the Son of God come forth in human flesh, born of a virgin, the Son of God incarnate in human flesh, born of a virgin. He is the sign, the guarantee, the surety that every word of God's everlasting covenant promise is ordered and sure in all things. He's the sign of that. He's the sign of that. When I read that and I got to thinking about this, I thought, here we are the week that the world's going to at least somewhat recognize that Christ came forth, or at least one they call Jesus came forth. And I thought how troubled the world is right now, how afraid everybody is of all the things that have come to pass this year. And here it is, the week when they're going to at least recognize that this one was born. And God says, if you believe on him, you'll be established. You won't be afraid. He's the sure guarantor that every word I've spoken will come to pass. The sign of Christ's birth. Now I want to look at who gave the sign, and I want to look at the sign given, and then for whom it's given. Who gave this sign? It says, therefore, the Lord himself, Jehovah God himself, shall give you a sign. The Lord Jesus is the child born, but he's the son given. He's the child born, he's the son given. God sent him. God gave him. It's God's pleasure. It's his good pleasure. It's his purpose that Christ have all preeminence in all things and be the, he is the covenant and the fulfiller of the covenant and the messenger of the covenant. Every word of God is in him, ordered and sure in all things, because God purposed his son's going to be glorified. His son's going to receive preeminence. Turn over to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 14. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So of every believer. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. If he created all the powers that be, who do you think rules them? Who do you think controls them? It's Christ. Look. And he's before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now, here's why God set him forth to be all of these things, to do all of these things, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that he might be preeminent, supreme, because it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And so to reject Christ is to reject God the Father. He's the one who gave him as the sign. He's the one that sent him forth because it pleased the Father that all fullness, everything we need for this life and the life to come, the salvation of his people, it pleased God that all fullness come from Christ and he receive all the glory, all the preeminence. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Now, let's look at the sign. Back in our text, he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, when God says, behold, when he says, behold, it means this is preeminent. It means stand in awe, stand in amazement, because this is the great thing right here. This is the greatest thing there is. Now, this is seen only by the eye of faith. That's when he says, behold, it's something only the eye of faith is going to see. A carnal man knows he's dead, can know he's spiritually dead in sin if he mocks this virgin birth right here. Because you got to have faith to believe this. Reason can't explain this. Logic can't explain it. This is as great as the mystery of God. God was manifest in the flesh. He came down. And look how this happened. This virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. That means he's of God. He came from God. That means he is God. That means he's not of sinful man. That means he is the holy God-man. A virgin shall conceive without a man. This is that new thing done in the earth. In Jeremiah 31:22, the Lord said, the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Now let's go to Matthew 1 and see. Scripture says that Mary was a virgin. Matthew chapter 1. And look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He thought that she had committed adultery. He thought she had committed adultery. But he didn't want to make a public example of her. He wanted to put her away privately. And it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus is flesh and blood. He's a man. He came forth as a man. The Son of God came forth as a man. But he's God the Son. He's the Son of God. So he's the perfect, holy God-man. Now, why was it a must that he be born of a virgin? Well, he had to come save his people from our sins. The necessity of him being born of a virgin tells us the people he came to save are all sinners. Because if he'd have been born of a man, then he wouldn't have been the Holy One. So he couldn't be. He came to save his people from our sins. He had to be a man like unto his brethren. If he's going to be the high priest, he's got to be chosen from among the people, because the high priest was chosen from among the people. If he's going to be able to make an offering to God without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, he has to be a man. And if he's going to be a merciful high priest and know the feeling of our infirmities and be able to comfort you and me, he's got to go through the troubles we go through and be touched with all the feeling of our infirmities and know everything about us if he's going to comfort us. And in order for him to save, he has to be holy. Every child conceived of a man is sin. Every sin, every one, we grow in sin in the womb. We're conceived in sin. We grow in sin in the womb. And so we come forth in sin because we're sinners. Psalmist said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. That's the reason he had to come forth of a virgin. Because we're conceived in sin. And he says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. So he got to be holy within. He got to have a holy nature. But you and me, we come forth from the womb, and the wicked are estranged from the womb. Estranged from who? Estranged from God. We go astray as soon as we're born, speaking lies. We don't sin to become sinners. We sin because that's what we are, conceived in sin. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man, holy, without sin, and therefore he's a fit sacrifice. He's that spotless Lamb of God that God promised. He's God with us who was able to lay down his life and who accomplished putting away the sin of his people. Emmanuel, God with us. Now that is amazing and something you just can't get over, that God came down. Do you believe God is, he is in the heavens. He's in the third heaven, Scripture said. Paul said, I was raised up to the third heaven. I saw things that it's not lawful to be uttered. Wherever that is, that's where God is. That's where Christ is right now, as the God-man. But when he was invisible God, he came down to this earth. And the Son of God took flesh like unto his brethren, so that he could save his people and be a faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5 again. This is something we don't ever want to grow weary of hearing this. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ. God was in Christ. When you read that, it doesn't mean that he was not God. Somebody will take that and they'll try to say, well, he was in Christ, but Christ wasn't God. No, he's God. God was in Christ. He's God. What was he doing? Reconciling the world unto himself, reconciling his people scattered all over the world. Those that he said his name's Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He was reconciling them to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Well, what did he do with our trespasses? They got to be dealt with. Verse 21, because he made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A Hebrew writer said, he came into this world and he said, sacrifice and offering thou didst desire. That couldn't put away sin. Nothing we could do could put away sin. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't put away sin. He said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He came down to do the will of God the Father. And everything he did under the law was doing the will of the Father. He was doing it for his people because we couldn't do it. And the scripture says he took away that first covenant and established the second covenant, the everlasting covenant of grace. And it says, and by his will, by him fulfilling the will of God, we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ one time. So everybody he died for, God's not imputing their sins to them. Because he imputed our sins to Christ. He made him sin for us, and he charged him with our sins, and he made him bear the curse of our sin. And he put it away. And so we're sanctified, perfected forever in him. So those that he died for, the scripture said his name's Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that's what he did. He saved his people from our sin. And he's God, so now God's not only just, because everything's been satisfied, God is the justifier. God justified us. He justified his people. That's what Abraham was talking about when he said, God will provide himself a lamb. He is God who was provided himself and who is himself the lamb. God will provide himself the lamb. That's who he is. Now, lastly, who's this sign for? Who's the sign for? Let's go back to our text, Isaiah 7. Our text says, the virgin shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, read the text again. It says there in verse 14. Now, what? Behold, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall bear a son. And a virgin shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. She conceived of the Holy Ghost. She bore a son, and she called his name Emmanuel. Go to Luke 1 and look at verse 46. Whenever she heard the good news of who it was that was formed in her, this is what she said. Luke 1:46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. What did she just say? She said, this one is God my Savior. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. She called him. She fulfilled that prophecy. She called him God with us. So we see in her who this sign is for. Who's this sign for? Who's going to believe and be established? Well, the Spirit formed Christ in her. The Spirit formed Christ in her. Not only physically, but spiritually. He saved her by His grace. And that's who the sign is for. That's who's going to be made to believe. Those Christ is formed in by the Spirit spiritually. That's who this is for. That's who shall call Him Emmanuel. The Lord proclaimed to her the gospel of who Christ is and what He would do. His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. She heard all this that Elizabeth said. She heard all about it. And that's who this sign is for. Those God is going to make hear this gospel and believe that He is indeed God with us, the Savior of His people. And he made her behold Him as God her Savior. And the result was she believed on it. She believed on it. Unlike anybody else, she's physically carrying her Savior and believing that the one in her womb is her God and all her salvation. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, it's similar to you and I. Christ is formed in us. Just as real as He was physically formed in her, the Scripture says Christ is formed in His people in spirit. That's the only way we believe. But that's who this sign is for. She's not the only one who shall call Him God and Savior. She's not the only one. Go back to Matthew 1 and look. Look how the Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which is interpreted God with us. Not just her, but all His people. Everybody He died for is going to be brought. His chosen, His redeemed, His called will all be brought to call Him Emmanuel, God our Savior. By His grace, by the blood and righteousness of Christ, we're chaste virgins. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Paul said, I've espoused you to one husband, to Christ, as a chaste virgin. And that's what all His people are. By His grace, by His blood, by His righteousness, we're every whit clean. And so you see a picture of the people He's going to save when you look at Mary. She was a sinner saved by grace just like us. So brethren, Christ is God with us. That's who He is. He's not just a little baby in a manger. He's God. He's God with us by His incarnation, by His blood, by His redemption. He's God with us by His Spirit. He's protecting, He's guiding, He's comforting His people. He's God with us in His church and where He's assembled His people together. He's God with us in His gospel that goes forth to comfort and console us. He's God with us when we face every trial and every trouble, just like they were facing. What was the comforting word? This one who's coming forth, the sign is Christ Jesus, God with us. This is the sure word. This guarantees you every word of God is so. And so He's the comfort. He's with us when we go through trial and trouble. And He's with us when we face that day, when we face the ultimate trial and we come to death. He's with us then. And He'll be with us for eternity. And we'll be with Him. Now, people today are terrified. They're shaking like a leaf on a tree. Just like these folks was. But we shouldn't be. The Lord said, if you will not believe, you shall not be established. But if you believe, you'll be established. If we believe Him, we have no reason to fear anything. Everything God did there in Ahaz's day was of God. Everything. In fact, the Son of God was ruling everything that was happening. Everything about it. He sent the kings against them. The enemy, He sent the prophet to Ahaz. He sent the prophet's son to Ahaz. He sent the word to Ahaz. He had the control of everything that was going on the same way he does in our day. And the promise we have that every word of God is going to come to pass is that Christ Jesus, we have the benefit of hindsight. He has come. He has come in human flesh. But you know what Ahaz's problem was? He only heard a man. He only heard a man. And he deemed his counselors, everybody was talking to him and counseling him, he deemed them wiser than what Isaiah declared to him, the word of God. And he was not established. He just like God promised, he was not established. So I pray that God will give us hearts to trust him, believe on him. If we're going to be saved from our sins and be established in righteousness, then only one way is through faith in Christ. If we're going to be saved from every enemy, within and without, it's going to be believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. This one we're talking about is in control of everything, always has been, always will be, and he says he will not lose one of his people. He will not. So he says, take heed, be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted. God says concerning the enemy, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Believe on him and be established. Everything is exactly according to his purpose. Everything. All right, brethren, let's stand together. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this sign of our Lord Jesus and his birth. And thank you, Father, that he is the God of creation, the ruling everything, and one who has accomplished the salvation of his people. Lord, help us to believe. Help us to cast all our care on Christ and trust that all your promises are yes and they're amen in him. They're sure and certain. That you're working in our midst, that you're working in this nation and in this church and in each of your people. And Lord, settle our hearts to trust him. Thank you, Father, that you have set forth your Son, and we're thankful that you've given us a place to hear his gospel preached and given us hearts to believe him. We ask you to be with our brethren who are sick and in trouble and help settle their hearts and comfort them and heal them and be the consolation they need. Father, we ask you to forgive us for doubting and forgive us for being faint-hearted. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. We're so full of it. And we ask you, Lord, to help us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this service, for these brethren. I pray, Lord, you'd be honored and glorified and make your word go forth effectually. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
For my pardon.